Kellogg, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, May 1st, 1902. Dr. Kellogg, my dear brother, I have been given a message for you. You have had many cautions and warnings, which I sincerely hope and pray you will consider. Last night I was instructed to tell you that the great display you are making in Battle Creek is not after God's order. You are planning to build in Battle Creek a larger sanitarium than should be erected there. There are other parts of the Lord's vineyard in which buildings are greatly needed, in order that the work which He has said must be done may be accomplished. You need to be awakened to understand that which has been often repeated, that Battle Creek is not to be made a Jerusalem. There are calls for means to establish memorials for God in cities nigh and afar off. Do not erect an immense institution in Battle Creek, which will make it necessary for you to draw upon our people for means. Such a building might far better be divided and plants made in many places. Over and over again this has been presented to me. When I was in Australia, the Lord instructed me to tell those in responsible positions in the work in Battle Creek that missionary work is to be done in places where the truth has not been proclaimed. Light was given that altogether too much was being centered in Battle Creek, for there were cities that have never heard the third angel's message, and that you should use in aggressive missionary work some of the means that came into your hands. I gave the message, but it was not heeded. You did not desire light on this subject. The Sydney Sanitarium, which for so long has stood unfinished, testifies to the disregard of the Lord's instruction. Had you felt the necessity that we in Australia felt, you would have appropriated means to establish new interests in the Lord's vineyard, to set in operation enterprises that must be carried forward in order to advance medical missionary work. I mention Australia because I have a personal knowledge of the needs of that field, and because the Lord sent to that country those who were fitted to make a wise use of means. Lift up your eyes and see how destitute of help are many fields to which the Lord has sent His servants, who have helped to establish the work in different places. Will not the managers of the Battle Creek Sanitarium be called to account for not heeding the instruction God has given, for not using their influence to have some means appropriated for making plants in other places? They have not, with clear eyesight, seen the needs of the fields nigh and afar off. The Lord did not direct that the Battle Creek Sanitarium should confine to Michigan all the means accruing from its working. Christ had been taken by wicked hands and crucified. He who was hurried to the place where criminals were executed was the Son of God, innocent and sinless, bearing the sin of the world, that by His death man might be granted another trial. All heaven saw the sacrifice He made and heard the taunts of the priests and rulers, who, as He hung on the cross, passed by, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it again in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." Matthew 27, verse 40, 42, 43. In their treatment of Christ, the Jews were prompted by the one who had been cast out of heaven for rebellion. All the abuse and ridicule and malice that satanic hate could suggest was heaped upon him. Pilate had declared, "I find in him no fault at all." John 18, verse 38. But the priests and rulers had given themselves over to Satan's control, and under his guidance they made the scene of Christ's trial and crucifixion one of bitter shame and sorrow. The sun veiled its face before the shameful sight. From the sixth to the ninth hour there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Matthew 27, verse 46. He bore the strokes of God. He descended to the lowest depth of humiliation, bearing the sins of the guilty. By the death of the Prince of Heaven, a way was opened whereby the race might gain the victory over sin, if they would contend for it in God's appointed way. In clear, trumpet-like tones that seemed to resound throughout creation, Jesus cried, "It is finished. Father, Into thy hands I commit my spirit. John 19, verse 30, Luke 23, verse 46. A light encircles the cross, and the face of the Savior shines with the glory like the sun. He then bowed his head and died. Again, darkness settled upon the earth, and a hoarse rumbling like thunder was heard. There was a violent earthquake. In the surrounding mountains, rocks were rent and went crashing down into the plains. Sepulchers were broken open, and the dead were cast out of the tombs. Creation seemed shivering to atoms. Rulers, soldiers, executioners, mute with terror, lay prostrate on the ground. By his death, Christ provided a way whereby man might be saved. He rose from the dead, and over the rent sepulcher of Joseph proclaimed, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11, verse 25. And just before his ascension, he gave his disciples the commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 19-20. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16, verse 20. Believers are not to gather together in large communities, as they have gathered in Battle Creek, for this God has forbidden.